Chapter 32. The driver dropped Tim and Sally on Hampstead High Street, close to the King William IV pub, and about 100 yards from the safe house. They waited for the Prius to drive away before walking to the side road where the house was.
"I'm not sure this is a good idea," said Sally.
"I don't agree," said Tim. "If the house is being used, then that suggests that the bad guys are trying to find it. And if the bad guys don't know where the house is, that almost certainly means you can trust that bastard Hadley."
"Why do you say that?"
"He's a bastard because he hit on you."
"No, I mean, why do you say I can trust him?"
"Because if he was involved with the bad guys, then he could simply tell them where the house is. So if this is all about finding the safe house, you call him and get him to bring you in."
"Which one is it?"
"Further along, one of the detached houses."
"Let's cross over the road then.
Best not to make it too obvious."
Sally looked around. She had a dull ache in the pit of her stomach. At any time, she expected to see a black SUV turn into the road. Tim put his arm around her. It took her by surprise and she flinched. He laughed and gave her a squeeze.
"If anyone sees us, we're just a regular couple out for a stroll," he said.
She smiled, knowing that he was right. She slipped her arm around his waist and was surprised at how natural it felt. They crossed the road. Tim seemed relaxed enough, but Sally was tense, scanning the pavement ahead of her and looking over her shoulder.
"Relax," he whispered. "I'm trying," she said.
"I thought they trained you in this sort of thing."
"I'm relaxed," she said,
but she knew that wasn't the truth. It was all right for Tim. He hadn't seen the bodies in the house in Wimbledon. He hadn't seen the blood spreading across Tony's chest, a FIFA slumped over her keyboard, or Jane lying in a pool of her own blood. She shuddered.
"Are you cold?" he asked.
"I'm okay," she said.
The house was about 50 yards ahead of them. It was Victorian and detached, with a small garden at the front and a garage to the right. Sally knew that behind the house was a large garden with several rockeries and a white gazebo. A gardening firm went in once a month to cut the grass and weed the rockeries and do any watering that was necessary. Safe houses could have a number of possible uses, but generally they were to keep people out of public view, usually because their lives were in danger. The footies were never told what the safe houses were used for, just that they were occupied and to be left alone until instructed otherwise. There was a wrought iron gate blocking the driveway, and through it they could see three cars. Two were white SUVs, the other was a dark saloon. Tim stopped, but Sally urged him on with her hand.
"Keep walking," he said. "Check the windows. Make sure no one is looking out."
"There are lights on inside," he said.
"I see them."
She took another look over her shoulder. The pavement behind them was clear. She took another look at the gate. She didn't see anyone standing guard, but she knew that the exterior of the house was fully covered by CCTV. There was a light on in one of the upstairs windows. It was one of the bedrooms. The blinds were down in the front room. They walked by the house and kept on going until they reached the junction with Fitzjohn's Avenue. They stopped.
"What do you think?" asked Tim.
"Do you recognize the vehicles?"
Sally shook her head.
"Do MI5 use white SUVs?"
"Not usually."
"And those SUVs weren't the ones after you?"
"The ones chasing me were black Mitsubishi Outlanders. The ones outside the house were white Ford Explorers, chalk and cheese."
"What about the other car?"
"Volkswagen Jetta. Could be a pool car."
"I'd like to check out the SUVs, see who they belong to. Are you okay to walk back?"
"I don't see why not. There didn't seem to be anyone looking out."
They crossed over the road and walked back towards the house. As they reached the wrought iron gates, Tim took out his phone and snapped pictures of the registration plates with his left hand as he kept his right arm draped over her shoulder. They carried on walking past three more houses, then stopped. Tim tapped on his phone and put it to his ear. He identified himself, gave his warrant card number, and then asked for two vehicle checks. He spelled out the numbers of the two Fords. He waited, thanked whoever was doing the PNC check for him,
and put the phone away.
That's interesting, he said.
What?
The SUVs are owned by the US Embassy.
They what?
Something hard pressed against the back of Sally's neck, and she stiffened. Tim reacted more aggressively, and a gun was whacked across the back of his head.
Move, and you're dead,
hissed the man behind Sally. I'm a police officer, said Tim, raising his hand slowly. My warrant card is in my jacket pocket.
I don't care if you're fucking Batman,
said the man who had hit Tim.
You keep your hands where I can see them, or I'll put a bullet in your head.